Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Niga Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Yud Ches. Before we begin the Shiur, you of course will be noticing a firebox marking around Rabbi Yochanan, which represents a central point or central name in this case that will keep our attention till Daf Yud Tes. In fact, on the outside margin under our Nosei heading, you can see we've indicated that this Nosei goes till Yud Tes Amud Aleph, and we also indicate together with the topic heading is the Mivneh, the structural note. We've written on the side Divrei Rabbi Yochanan, which says Begimel Mekoimos, and the diamond is featured because it highlights three places. Holchu Achar Horoiv, we follow the majority, Vasaum Vadai, and we came to a conclusion based on the majority, which we will see what we're referring to, and established it with certainty. Be'omid Beis, HaGemara Tish'al, Limutei Mai. The Gemara on Omid Beis will ask, well, if Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that in three places we follow the majority and come to a ruling of certainty, where are there places that we wouldn't come to a conclusion with certainty? We can restate this by saying that when you have an issue of doubt, you can settle the doubt by looking at the majority circumstances and say, well, we'll go according to the majority. When we say we'll go according to the majority, does that not include the possibility that I'm wrong? In other words, I'll follow the majority, but at the same time, I do so with a feeling of doubt. Well, that is very often the case. However, Rabbi Yochanan says that in three places we will follow the majority and conclude a conclusion with certainty. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, v'shloisha mekoimis holchu boi chachomim achar haroiv. In three places the chachomim, the sages, follow the majority, va'asoum kivadai, and then treat it with certainty. What are the three places? Mokor, Shilyo, Chaticha. The Gemara simply refers to them by name, but now it explains and elaborates. Mokor, Ha, Da'amoron. The case of Mokor is the issue of the blood coming from the Mokor, which we discussed in our previous year as being the in the anatomy of a woman, the source of blood that would create Nida. We spoke about blood being found in the prosdor, and we saw that blood found in the prosdor from the lul bifnim would be considered tome, based on the idea that the majority of blood that one would find over there would be from the mokor, and as such, we render her tomea. Even though there is a minority possibility of the blood coming from the aliyah, namely somewhere else, which wouldn't have made her tmeah, but the majority of the blood comes from the mokor, certainly if you find it min halul ubifnim, and we say we treat it with certainty, that means that if she happens to touch this woman who found dam at that location, as she touches truma, we will burn the truma, which is the way we deal with truma, the tithe given to Kohanim, when it becomes tome with certainty. If I see a dead sheretz come into contact with a piece of truma, I will burn the truma. Here, we have a woman that We don't know 100% for sure if she is a Nida, but the majority of blood that is found in that location, in the Prozdor, Minalu Bifnim, comes from the Mokar. We say if she touches Truma, we will burn the Truma. That shows us that we are treating the majority as certain. Continuing in the Gemara, Shilya Tisnan, the case of Shilya. Shilya is the placenta. It's that tissue matter that surrounds a baby or a fetus in its development. Tisnan, the source here tells us, Shilya Bibayas, Habayas Tome. If one discovers a Shilya in a house, Shilya of a human being, of a human birth, so the house is said to be defiled. In other words, the interior of the house is subject to Tumas Meis. Velosha Hashilya Vlad, not that that membrane is considered a human being or a fetus. Elosha'en Shilya below Vlad. Rather, the Shilya is evidence of there having been a birth, or in this case, a birth or a miscarriage, specifically a miscarriage, which will create Tumas Meis. The statement of this source that says the bias is Tomei tells us that any Truma that's in the house, we will go and burn it. So since it is the case that the majority of Shilyos are present only if there had been a Vlad, that there had been a fetus, we consider the interior of the house Tomei, and the indication of our burning the Truma shows us that we consider it Tomei to the tune of being certain Tuma. Once again, because the majority of Shilyos come about only if there had also been a fetus. The source continues, Reb Shimon Oimer, Nimoik HaVlad Ad Shelo Yotza. Before the Vlad came out, Reb Shimon says it decomposed and it got mixed with Dam Leda, with birth blood, and became botel in the rove. In other words, there was a fetus, but before it ever came out, it dissolved and mixed with birth blood, and it lost its identity, being botel in the rove of Dam Leda. And Dam Leda is not metame. Therefore, Reb Shimon says there is no tuma based on the concept of bittel berov. Nevertheless, we see from the Tanna Kamma that Roiv Shilyos come about only if there had been a Vlad, and we consider the house to be Tomei Tumas Meis because of that Vlad, and our conclusion is based on the majority of Shilyos come about with if there is a Vlad, a fetus there as well. The next case, Chaticha, a piece, disnan hamapeles yad chatucha. In this case, the word chaticha really doesn't refer to a piece, but rather it means a hand. This is a case of a miscarriage, and there came forth from the woman a formed hand. The word chatucha means formed. Veregel chatucha, or a leg that had a form of a leg. It had toes on it. So if a woman gave birth to a form of a hand or a form of a foot, emo tamea leda, the woman is considered having given birth. The ein choshishin shema miguf otum bos, and we don't suspect that it came from an unformed fetus. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Emo tamea leda, the woman that gave birth to a formed hand or formed leg imposes on the woman tumas leda. The teshiv chomer zocher limei toyar b'chomer keva l'inyan tumah, which means that she will be dealt with as if she had an actual birth. Now, as far as the gender is concerned, we're not sure. So we impose the stringencies of a male birth, which would mean that she will have Yemei Tohar that last only until day 40. And Chomer Nekeva means that she will have Tumas Leido of 14 days. So that for 14 days since the birth, she is considered Tumeo. And from 14 till day 40, in other words, another 26 days, any blood that she sees will be considered Tohor. And this tells us, this shows us the Machzikinon Lo Beleido Vadois. As far as we're concerned, this woman definitely gave birth. Litein Lo Yemei Tumo Vimei Taro. And as a result, we grant her, or we impose upon her, Tuma days, but we also grant her Tahara days. Those Tahara days, if it wasn't a certain birth, she wouldn't get it, because Tahara days are days during which a woman sees blood coming from her female parts, and nevertheless it is declared Tohor. If she wasn't a Leida of Adoyis, if it wasn't a certain birth, there's no way we would grant a woman such a leniency. And why is it that we grant her the Yemei Tohar as well? The Amrinon, Halocha Achar HaRoiv, follow the majority. V'Roiv Noshim Vlad Malia Yoldon, Elishin Nimok. Most women give birth to developed fetuses, and in this case, there had been a developed fetus, as opposed to a Guf Atum. There had been a developed fetus, but it dissolved. And we don't say that it wasn't, what we don't say is we don't say that there wasn't a real birth over here, and that the hand came from an unformed entity, which wouldn't be considered a Vlad, but rather, we say that the hand came from a formed fetus, which is the majority of cases, and that's why we're able to grant her Yemei Tohar. So you see here another example of following the majority. Majority of births come from from formed fetuses, and as a result, we treat her as a definite, as a definite birth, and hence she gets these Yemei Tohar as well. The Gemara now asks, Vesu leka v'ho'ika teisha chanuyos. We have a marking here, a bow tie form, and the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, you can see we feature the bow tie, and the word v'ho'ika means an isn't there. Sidro shokushos, this represents a series of questions, and you can see the bow ties appearing as you go down the Omid. These are a series of questions. There are more than just three examples where our following the majority results in a conclusion of certainty. So the Gemara asks, Vesu lekavoiko teisha chunis, is there not the case of the nine shops, in this case meat shops? Desanyo, teisha chunis kulin marchis besoshchuta. If nine shops, let's say of a row of stores in a butcher's market, 9 of 10 stores, 9 of them sell kosher meat. V'achas mocheres boser nevela, and 1 of them sells unkosher meat. V'lokach me'achas mehen, v'ena yudea me'eze mehen lokach. And our subject bought meat from one of the stores. He went into the store and bought meat, but he doesn't know from which one of the shops he bought the meat. Sveikoi osur. Since there is an element of doubt, he doesn't know which shop he went into. We say the meat is forbidden. And the reason for that, even though the majority would indicate that it should have been okay, but he went into the shop itself, which is the established place for meat to be. That's called the Mokoim Kavua. And there's a principle based on scriptural references that states, Kol Kavua Kemechtso Amechtso Domi. When you are in a state of doubt and you're in location, in other words, you're going to the place that the element of doubt is expected to be found, you aren't going to get any better odds than 50-50. So you have a suffix, and since we're talking about the issue of kashrus, it's a suffix d'oraisa, and therefore It's a suffix of a Torah matter, and therefore we rule stringently. However, uvenimtza, if, let us say, you find meat outside of the shops, you find it in the street, haloch achar haroiv, you then follow the majority, and we tell you, you can eat this meat. There's a principle here, that the underlying principle, also based on psukim, that called it porish, meruba porish, if something got separated from its expected place. In this case, if you found a bag of meat on a park bench outside these shops, meat is not found on park benches. It obviously got separated, got distanced from one of the shops. So, since it got distanced from one of the shops, it's called porish. It got separated, and I follow the majority in order to determine from which shop it came. And the majority of the shops sell kosher meat. Once again, that principle is called de porish. Anything that gets separated, may ruba porish. It gets separated from the majority. The point for us is that we treat it as certain. That means we would allow you to go ahead and eat that meat. So why is this case of Teisha Chanuyos not included in Rabbi Yochanan's list of places that we follow the majority and treat it with certainty? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't trying to cover all cases, but rather Tumo Kuarminon, Isur Lo Kuarminon. Rabbi Yochanan's halacha was limited to the realm of Tuma, not the realm of that which is forbidden and permissible, as is the case with Kashrus. But rather, he was limited to the realm of ritual purity or impurity. The Gemara asks, if that be the case, Vo'ika, but even in the case of Tuma, is there not the following case? Teisha Tzfardi'in V'sheretz Echod Beinehen. There are 9 Tzfardi'in. Tzfardi'in are often translated as frogs. Frogs, when though they're not kosher for eating purposes, nevertheless, when they are dead, they don't have a din of sheretz, a sheretz being a source of tuma. So you have 9 dead frogs, v'sheretz echor b'nehem, and 1 sheretz. Imagine a sheretz would include something like a mouse, and there's 1 dead mouse. V'noga b'echor mehen v'eina yidea b'ezer mehen noga. And you have someone that came into contact, that touched one of these dead creatures, but he doesn't know which one. So if it took place b'rishus hayochid sveikoi tomei, if it took place in a private domain, and we have a doubt as to which one he touched, so we say tzofik tumei b'rishus hayochid sveikoi tomei. B'rishus harabim, if the same incident took place in a public thoroughfare, sveikoi tohor, he will be deemed tohor. Because of another concept called tzofik tumei b'rishus harabim, if you have a doubt concerning tumei in a public area, we rule tohor. Uvenimtza haloch achar harov. Rashi, uvenimtza Shapir, Rashi, second line from the bottom, he says Shapirish echod mehem lemokom achir. We had a pile of creatures, dead creatures, 9 frogs and 1 sheretz, and one of them got separated from the pile lemokom achir, v'noga boy odom shom, and someone touched the separated item over there. Tohor, Rashi says he's tohor. Dahashto lav kavua havi. It's not the one that got separated is no longer in its original place. It's called kavua havi. It is considered kavua v'yarminan, and we say the principle that we mentioned before, called a porish meruba porish. It, whatever got separated, it came from the majority. The majority were the tzfardim, and therefore tzfardea hu, that which he touched, was a tzfardea. So what do we see from here? We see that in the realm of tuma, we also follow a majority and treat it with certainty. So why did Rabbi Yochanan limit his comment to 3 cases and not include this? The Gemara answers, tumo b'almo lo karminon. Let's read. We skipped a couple words. Tuma de isha kuarminon, tuma de alma lo kuarminon. Rabbi Yochanan was limiting his remarks to tuma in the realm of human being, female human beings. So that the examples he spoke about, Moker, Shilya, and Chaticha, had to do with women and Tumah. The Gemara asks, well, the Ha'ika Ha Di Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, is there not the case of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Avra ben Nahar, if a woman crossed a river, we continue now on the top of Amid Beis, Vihi Pila, and she experienced a miscarriage, and she doesn't know whether she actually miscarried a fetus. Mevia korban v'nechal, she'll bring an offering. In this case, it's a chatasof, a bird offering, which a woman who gives birth is expected to give, and that bird offering is eaten. In other words, we're treating her as a definite childbirth, which is what in a definite childbirth, a woman brings a couple of sacrifices, and one of the things she brings is a bird offering that's treated as a chatasof, and the kohanim would eat that. We're saying here in this case, when she experienced the feeling of a miscarriage as she was crossing the river, she doesn't see any vlad right now. Nevertheless, we treat her as a woman who definitely gave birth. And has, once again, that's witnessed by the fact that we're enabling you to eat the bird offering. By the way, if it's not viewed as a definite childbirth, we wouldn't let you eat the bird because maybe the sacrifice was unnecessary. And bird sacrifices are processed through nipping of the neck, through using and through the Kohen inserting his fingernail into its neck, which is not standard slaughtering procedure. So that only because it's viewed as an actual sacrifice, which is slaughtered through this nipping of the neck with a fingernail, if it wasn't treated as a definite birth, we wouldn't allow you to eat it. So the Gemara says, Halochacha roiv nashim, for roiv nashim vlad ma'alya yoldan. Follow the majority of women, and the majority of women, when they had been in a state of pregnancy, that which comes forth from them is, under most circumstances, is a fetus. So what do we see from here? We have the case of women and childbirth, which is associated with Leida and Tumas Leida, and we have her bringing a sacrifice and it being eaten. So we see a case of following the majority and coming to a conclusion with certainty. So why isn't this case included? Specifically the case of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. The Gemara answers, Masnisin Kuarminon, Shmaitzelo Kuarminon. Rabbi Yochanan was interested in featuring cases that are of a Mishnaic background. The three places are found in Mishnais, and if you look back at Omed Aleph, you can see they're all coming from framed sources. The three cases Rabbi Yochanan was talking about. Shmaitza means words of Amoroyim, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi represents an Amoira. So Lo Kormenon, I wasn't interested in featuring cases that are Amoraic in origin. The Gemara asks, is that really so that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that his case is purely Amoraic in origin? Vahaki also Ravin Omar. Ravin came and told us the following. Mosiv Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Hanina Toye, Veloya Dana Mai Tufte. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Hanina asked on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi from the case of Toye. We don't have to get into the background and explain what the case of Toye is referring to, but suffice it to say, the case of Toye is a Mishnah that deals with a woman who lost track of her Nida cycle, and Toye is a one word that captures that particular Mishnah. One does not have to know the background of that Mishnah for this particular Gemara, but rather the dynamic right now, and the dynamic is that Rabbi Yossi raised a challenge to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi from the Mishnah called Toye, and Ravin tells us that I don't know what Rabbi Yossi was trying to accomplish. I don't know. I don't see any challenge to Rabbi Shimon Levi from the Mishnah of Toya. my lav, does Rovin not mean, doesn't he mean lo tiyufto elo siyato, that the case of Toya is not a repudiation of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, but rather it's a support of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi? And here is where, this is where we have to explain. When you say that Toya would represent a support to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, you're in effect saying that the din of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is based on a Mishnah. If a Mishnah supports his din, it shows that his din, even though Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi himself is an Amora, but it's supported by a Mishnah. So if, as you tried to answer before, that Rabbi Yochanan was concerned in listing Mishnah-based cases, so it should have listed the case of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, which is supported by a Mishnah. The Gemara says, no, loy, dilma lo tiyufta, velo siyata. Maybe what Ravin was saying was that I didn't understand what the challenge to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi was, is that I don't see from the case of Toya a challenge, nor do I see it as a support. So that you can't suggest, like we did in the question just now, that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is being supported by a Mishnah, hence making his words of Mishnaic strength. Not so. All that Ravin tells us is that Rabbi Yossi tried to challenge Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi from a Mishnah, and Ravin says, I don't know, I don't see the challenge to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi from that source. And we're adding, there's no challenge, but there's not necessarily support either. You notice that we have a semicolon indicating that the point that follows is a new point, but we're still within the general discussion of Rabbi Yochanan's three examples. Namely, Rabbi Yochanan said there are three places that we follow the majority and come to a ruling of certainty. By saying that there are three cases, you're implying that there is something else that wouldn't be included. In other words, there's another case of a majority that would not result in a psak that would reflect certainty. So our Gemara asks, Limutei Mai, what is Rabbi Yochanan trying to exclude? Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading with a structural note combined, the nosei, and we indicate hemshef. This is essentially a continuation of the sugya mivneh, and the structural note features the double underline, and you can see that in our Gemara. You have the word ilema, and then further down the page, ela. These are nisyonos, these are attempts, la'anos, la'she'ela, to answer the question, ma bo Rabbi Yochanan l'mayit, what is Rabbi Yochanan trying to exclude? Ba'omro de begimol mekoymos hocho acharoiv vasoi vaday. That in three places, the rabbis follow the majority and treat it with certainty, and not just leaving us with a sense of doubt. The first stage of trying to figure out l'mutei, what is Rabbi Yochanan trying to exclude, is labeled here in our markings as a long question. What is he trying to exclude? And the Gemara says, if you try to say limute the following, now this essentially all is a long question. So, however, a good part of this question you will see is in brackets, and the reason for the brackets will be that up till the brackets, the Gemara essentially rejects the ilema. And within the brackets is the background. So now the Gemara. What is Rabbi Yochanan trying to exclude? Ilemo limute rubo diiko chazoka bahadei. If you're trying to exclude a case of a majority which points you into one direction, and a chazoka which is a pre-established status that would point in the other direction, so that the concept, it's a concept of pitting off a rub, a roiv, against a chazoka. Majority would lead you to think one thing, the current status would lead you to think something else, and when you have a case like that, even though there's a rove pointing in one direction, still, we wouldn't burn truma, indicating that we don't treat it with certainty. So maybe Rabbi Yochanan, in listing the three cases where we follow the majority and come to a ruling of certainty, is to the exclusion of this case of a rov, where it's opposed by a chazaka. Well, that's not what he's trying to do. Why? The ha'omra Rabbi Yochanan chalazim. Rabbi Yochanan already established that on another occasion. He already said that one time. So that this suggestion of the ilaim olimute ruba digu chazaka is not what Rabbi Yochanan is trying to accomplish over here in giving us his list of three cases. And why is that not the case? Because Rabbi Yochanan dealt with this already elsewhere. And this not here, the Gemara in this entire bracketed section is giving us the background to where Rabbi Yochanan already dealt with this. So if you skip the brackets momentarily, you'll see it says, Elo limute ruba de Rabbi Yehuda, rather, what Rabbi Yochanan is trying to accomplish by giving us his list of three cases, the Moker and the Chaticha, and the third case, he is trying to exclude the case of the Roiv of Rabbi Yehuda, which the Gemara will feature later. In the meantime, what is the case of Ruba Diko Chazaka Bade, the case of majority that is opposed by Chazaka? Disnan, you have a Tanaic source revealing a child, Tinok Hanimtsa Betzaru Isa, a child found next to a batter of dough. And the child has in his hands some dough that he's playing with. Rabbi Meir Mitaher. Rabbi Meir says that the dough is tohor. V'chachomim mitamen. And the chachomim say the dough is tomei. Shedarkoi sheltinok litapech. It is the way of children to play around in all kinds of areas and handle all kinds of things, including the garbage, and in which you have dead shrutzim, and Rashi says specifically litapeach, like the handle, shrutzim, dead shrutzim, making the child tomei. And if the child is tomei, so when he touches the dough, he would be metame the dough. Hence, the chachomim are metame the dough. V'amrina on my time of the Rabbi Meir. Well, why does Rabbi Meir say the dough is tohor? Answer, Kosovar, he feels, Rov Tinokos Metapchin, that true, it is true, majority of children play with Shrutzim, Umiut Ein Metapchin, and a minority do not play with Shrutzim. So, as far as children are concerned, majority of children would be Temeim. However, V'isazu Becheskas Tehira Imedis, the dough itself, though, has a status of being Tor. Before the kid came on the scene, there's no reason to assume otherwise. Rather, the dough has a cheskas tara. Smoch miuta lechazaka. Attach the minority of kids, which we said the minority do not handle shrutzim. Attach that phenomenon to the dough. That's smoch miuta lechazaka. Attach it to the status the dough enjoys of tara, the isra le ruba. And that weakens the majority that would have said tomei. So the miut plus the chazaka reduces the rove, or it neutralizes the rove, and hence Rabbi Meir says that the dough remains tohor. Rabbonan miuta keman delese domi. As far as the Rabbonan are concerned, the minority of children is considered a non-factor whatsoever. The ruba v'chazaka, ruba odif. And then you pit the rove against the chazaka, the majority, which points to the direction of tuma, versus the chazaka, the status of the dough, which was one of tahara, and rove overrules chazaka. The Omar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rebo Shaya, Zu Hi Chazaka Shisorfen Oleo Esatruma. This Chazaka, now, I believe, according to Rashi, the word Chazaka is simply a borrowed expression. It really means the rove, as the maintenance that were Machzik Rove Tinoikis as Metapchin. is a, really a rove, that we consider the fact that majority of kids play with shratzim. This is a case of chazaka, which really is a reference to rove, that we will burn the truma over it. In other words, the dough, if this were a case of a truma dough, we would burn it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ein zu chazaka shesorfen olal es hatruma. This rove, the rove that we're talking about here, which stands in contrast to the chazaka, majority of kids are tame, but dough has status of tara, and so it's a rove against the chazaka. Rabbi Yochanan says that we will not burn the truma, so that Rabbi Yochanan already excluded this case of a rove against the chazaka, and will not be treated with certainty. True, the dough is tomei according to the Rabbanan. However, if it were truma dough, we wouldn't burn it, because we're not certain that there is tuma. Whatever the case is, you can see here, we've dashed underlined Rabbi Yochanan and his ruling that he already excluded this case of rove as being an example that we would treat it with certainty. Elo limute ruba de Rabbi Huda. What Rav Yochanan is trying to accomplish is to exclude the case of rove as featured by Rabbi Huda. The Rashi, close to the end of the narrow lines, Elo Lemute Ruba de Rabbi Huda, the Afalgav, the Omar Zil Basa Ruba, even though Rabbi Huda tells us follow the majority, in the case we haven't seen yet, Hochi Gomar Lo Rabbi Yochanan, the Tomei, the Gomar Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yochanan understood that the ruling of Rabbi Huda that says Tomei means Litlois Komar Velo Lisrof, means to keep the Truma in suspension, but not to actually burn it. So now the case. Rather, so we said Rabbi Yochanan is coming to exclude the case of Rov as taught by Rabbi Yehuda the Snan, Hamapeles Chaticha. A woman miscarries a form. A Chaticha is a block of tissue matter or a form that comes out, a block that comes out of her. In Yesh Imo Dam, Tamea, if there is blood that accompanies this projection from the woman, she will be considered Tamea, and the Tuma here is a reference to Tumas Nida, not a Leda. This is not considered a birth, but and therefore the Chaticha, the piece that comes out of her, is not a child. Will she be Tamea? Well, if blood comes out of her, so that will be considered blood of Nida quality, as opposed to birth blood. And being that it's Nida blood, she becomes Tamea for 7 days, and after which she is Muteris, but she's not granted automatic Tahara days. The Imlav Torah, if there is no blood that accompanies the Chaticha, so the woman remains Tahora. So this reflects the idea that the chaticha that comes out is just considered a piece of meat and not blood. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Benkach Ubenkach Tamea. Whether or not there is accompanying blood with the chaticha, the woman is Tamea. The Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel. Lo Timei Rabbi Yehuda Elo Bechaticha Shel Arba Minei Domim. Rabbi Yehuda declares Tuma only if the block of tissue matter that came out, it has the color of one of the four different kinds of blood colors, which is a topic featured in an upcoming Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Shel Arba Minei Domim Divrei HaKol Tmeya, if the Chaticha is the same color as one of the four colors of blood, everyone would agree that the woman is Tmeya, even without accompanying blood. V'shel shar domim divrei hakol tahora. And if the chaticha has another kind of color to it, everyone will agree that she is tahora. Lo nechleku ela kishi pila. the machlokis, Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, arises only in a case of a hapola, something coming out of her. And as we say, the Gemara continues to the top of Daf Yud Tes Omer Aleph. So the woman had something coming out of her. V'eino yodas ma'hi pila, and she doesn't know what came out of her. In other words, the chaticha is lost before it ever came to our attention. Rav Yehuda Savar, Rav Yehuda, who said that she is Tameah, he holds zil vosar roiv chatichos, follow the majority of pieces. V'rov chatichos shel arba mine domim havyon, the majority will have the color of one of the four types of blood colors. Rabbonan savri zil basa rov chatichos lo amrino, the Rabbonan don't rule based on following a majority, and therefore the Rabbonan will tell you that the only way she will become tameo is if there is accompanying dam. But we have to emphasize Rabbi Yehuda for our discussion. Rabbi Yehuda said, follow the majority of chatichas. And even though in this case we don't see the chaticha that comes out of her, most chatichas would have the blood color to it. And as such, it's considered blood. It's we call it a block of blood. Now, Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, true, we are considering the woman to be Tameah. However, this woman, if she touches Truma, we will not burn the Truma. Because in only three cases does our following the majority result in a ruling of certainty. In this case, we follow the majority, but not to the degree that we rule her as Tameah with certainty, and hence we will not allow you to burn the Truma that she comes into contact with. So Rabbi Yochanan in effect told us about three cases that the Rov would lead us to a ruling of certainty, to the exclusion of this case where, though we are following the Rov, we don't treat it with certainty. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.